The following is a home program on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 4, text number 3, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasa Thikari. Recorded on June 4th, 2013, in Rose Hill, Mauritius.
The system of how to be happy in all times, all places, and all circumstances is called Krishna consciousness. It's also called universal consciousness, or Christ consciousness, or Buddha consciousness, Allah consciousness, universal consciousness. But especially, it's called Krishna consciousness. It's the essence of religion, the essence of science. It's a perfect system handed down from the great sages of India. It worked perfectly in the past, and it works perfectly in the present. So we're going to read today from chapter 4 of the Bhagavad Gita, in which this science is explicitly explained. And today we will read chapter 4, verse number 3.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Sa evayang maya teja. Yoga prokta paratana. Bhaktosi me sakacheti.
Bhaktosi me sakacheti.
Rahasyam yetaduttamam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Gopal. Where is Prabhupada? That's a tiny picture. To have my picture big and Prabhupada small, you have to have a big picture of Prabhupada also. That isn't good. Little tiny Prabhupada and the big Sankarshan Dasari Curry, that's not good. You must have a big Prabhupada there. I'm tiny and he is big. To have me big and Prabhupada tiny is not proper also. You must make Prabhupada very big. And I should not be bigger like that. So this is the translation in purport, Srila Prabhupada. That very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you, because you are my devotee as well as my friend, and can therefore understand the transcendental mystery of this science. Purport. There are two classes of men, namely the devotee and the demon. The Lord selected Arjuna as the recipient of this great science, owing to his being a devotee of the Lord. But for the demon, it is not possible to understand this great mysterious science. There are a number of editions of this great book of knowledge. Some of them have commentaries by the devotees, and some of them have commentaries by the demons. Commentation by the devotee is real, whereas that of the demons is useless. Arjuna accepts Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In any commentary on the Gita following in the footsteps of Arjuna is real devotional service to the cause of this great science. The demoniac, however, do not accept Lord Krishna as he is. Instead, they concoct something about Krishna and mislead general readers from the path of Krishna's instructions. Here is a warning about such misleading paths. One should try to follow the disciplic succession from Arjuna and thus be benefited by this great science of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desha Tarine. So, what does this mean to us? These words were spoken by Krishna 5,000 years ago. It is amazing that even 5,000 years ago, this was considered to be a very ancient science. You may wonder, well, how is that possible? Even in the ancient times, this was considered an ancient science. How else can that be? If we look in the very first verse of this chapter, it becomes clear why Krishna can say this. It's stated in verse number 1 of this chapter. Imam vivashvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam vivashvan manave prahar manu ikshakvibhavid. I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god Vivashvan. Vivashvan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. So that means, you see, Lord Ram came in the dynasty from Ikshvaku. That means before even Lord Ram appeared on this earth, Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god. So actually Krishna came before Lord Ram previously, you see. He came and spoke this knowledge, Bhagavad Gita, to the sun god. So it's very, very ancient science. The beauty of this science is it's just as powerful, just as potent, just as effective, just as dynamic, just as wonderful, just as absolutely astoundingly beautiful now as it was then. Even though we're in the middle of the Kali Yuga and things have very much degraded, do you know the Kali Yuga began 5,000 years ago? It's an age of materialism. It's an age of quarrel, hypocrisy, cheating, lying, murder, rape. It's an age of horrible sinfulness. In spite of the horrible atmosphere of this age, this science of bhakti has not been polluted. It's just as pure now as it was when the sun god received it from Krishna. It's just as pure now as it was 5,000 years ago when Arjuna received it from Krishna. So if you will hear this science very carefully, take it very deeply through your ears into your heart, it will transform your existence, just as it transformed the sun god, just as it transformed Arjuna. It will transform you as well. So we don't have to be victimized by the Kali Yuga. If we take shelter of Krishna, then we become liberated from the influence of the age of Kali. The Kali has a downward pulling influence on the consciousness. This is different from goddess Kali. This is Kali. There's Ka and Ka. You see, Kali is the goddess. Kali is a male personality. He's the personification of this age of Kali. It's not Kali, but Kali. Goddess Kali is a pure devotee of Krishna. We worship Goddess Kali, you see, as one of the great devotees of Krishna. But Kali, he's demoniac person. And he's behind this age, the age of Kali. But we will be protected by the influence of the age of Kali by taking shelter of this wonderful process given 500 years ago by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is called the Nama Sankirtan movement, and it is based on chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hari, Hari, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. By chanting this mantra on a regular daily basis, just as if there's an epidemic going on around you and you take the serum, you get vaccinated against the epidemic, then you're protected from the epidemic. So there is a Kali epidemic going on all over the world. It's in Mauritius. It's in South Africa, it's in the UK, it's in the US, it's in India. Everywhere this epidemic, the Kali epidemic is going on. But if you will take this vaccine, if you will immunize yourself with this vaccine, the Hare Krishna mantra, you see, then you will not be infected by the age of Kali. And if you're already infected, actually we are already infected. And if we're already infected, this chanting of Hare Krishna will cure us from this infection of the influence of the age of Kali. And bring us out of the selfish, greedy, lusty, angry, envious consciousness that is instilled in us by the influence of the age of Kali. You see, to be envious, to be greedy, to be lusty, to be angry, this is not natural. These are diseased states of mind which one develops by the influence of the age of Kali. But if you will chant Hare Krishna mantra on a regular daily basis, if you will bow down to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if you will take the prasad of Krishna, if you will chant Hare Krishna, you see, then by these activities, The enviousness will gradually go out of your heart. The greed will gradually go out of your heart. The anger, the envy, the lustiness, you see. These things will gradually go away and be replaced with the most wonderful new state of consciousness called Krishna Prema, love of God. So we want to awaken that love of God, that Krishna Prema within our hearts. We want to be doing that, you see. This is a very important thing to do. Because actually we are meant to love God. That is our duty as human beings, you see. The bird's duty is to fly in the sky. The fish's duty is to swim in the water, you see. The snake's duty is to crawl along the ground. But our duty as human beings is not to make money. Our duty as human beings is to develop love of God within our hearts. That's why we exist as human beings. That is the duty in the human life, to develop love of God. If one does not utilize their human life to develop love of God, what are they? They're animal, you see. They're simply animal. The animal runs on four legs. And in Sanskrit language, it is stated that a human being who does not develop his love for God, he is called dvipada pashu, which means two-legged animal. And when he becomes old, he is called tripada pashu. Can you figure out why he's called tripada pashu when he gets old? Because he's walking with a cane, you see. So he becomes tripada pashu, you see. So, the Vedas say, don't be a pashu, do not be an animal. You utilize your human life to awaken the feelings of love of God within your heart. That's what you should do with your human life. Because by doing that, you will be happy. And you're able to give happiness to everyone. Your family, your friends, your community, your country, all humanity. Why are you not taking? I told you to take. No, you take. The instruction is you should take. It's his turn tonight. So now I can ask you there's some questions. And there's some papers. Anybody write any questions down? No one wrote any questions down. Why do you wait till I ask? You should be writing questions as I speak. Not that I ask a question, there's no question.
Pour finir, je vais donner une question.
Okay, here's the first question. Some persons tend to believe that chanting God's name alone is too simple, and therefore cannot make one achieve perfection. They believe that meditation and other processes are needed. Chanting is meditation. Chanting the names of God is the perfection of meditation. So if you think you need to meditate, then you need to chant Hare Krishna, because this is the perfection of meditation. And other processes? Well, we also take prasadam. We have many. It's a multifaceted process. We meditate on the holy name of Krishna. We take prasadam. We engage in devotional service. This bhakti yoga system is far more complete, far more powerful than any other system. And it's in the and it's confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text number 47. Yoginam api sarvesham mangatena tadatmana shadavan vachate yomang samayukta tamomataha. Krishna says, of all the different practitioners who do different types of systems, yoga asanas, mental speculation, all the different types of processes that one engages in, karma kanda, Vedic yajnas, all the different types of processes of all these practitioners, the most highly advanced practitioner is the one who does bhakti. Krishna is the supreme authority over all the systems. He is called Yogeshwara, the master of mystic power. And Yogeshwara says, of all the processes, this bhakti yoga system is the highest system. So, you know, just because people say something, well, there's a saying in Bengali that a madman can speak anything and a goat can eat anything. So just because people say something doesn't mean it's true. You have to hear from the authority, from Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then you can know what is what. In yesterday night's lecture, you mentioned that only Vaishnava songs should be chanted in the temple. As such, we should not sing Ramachandra's bhajan. There's nothing wrong with singing Ramachandra's bhajan. But in our line, I'm sure there's many nice Ramachandra bhajans, but in our line, we are following the line of Krishna Bhakta, Krishna Bhakti. Do you want to please yourself or do you want to please Lord Ram? That's my question. By fully surrendering to the spiritual master, who is a representative of Lord Ram, that gives the greatest pleasure to Lord Ram. So instead of thinking of doing what you want to do, you should find out what Krishna wants you to do, what Lord Ram wants you to do. The question is, you want to please Lord Ram or do you want to please yourself? Do you want to please what pleases you or what pleases Lord Ram? So you should find out how to please Lord Ram in the best possible way. And that is done by following the Guru Parampara system. Actually, we have many songs in which Lord Ram is mentioned. His holy name is mentioned in many nice bhajans. There's one bhajan where his name is mentioned again and again and again. Maybe you're familiar with that song? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You want to please Lord Rama, chant Hare Krishna. That gives the greatest pleasure, Lord Rama. How to chant without offense. Well, you have to study the list in the Nectar Devotion and avoid the offenses. There's a whole list. The most important thing is to always be respectful to the devotees. Never hold negative attitude towards Vaishnavas. That's the most important offense to avoid. There are also other priests in different temples who know that Krishna is the supreme, yet they engage in demigod worship for the public. Why is it so? Well, I don't know. You'd have to ask them. And how to remedy the situation. Well, people are going to do what they're going to do. If somebody wants to worship a demigod, they're going to worship the demigods. You can't force somebody not to worship the demigods. But if somebody really wants to be educated to know what is the Vedic science, they will know that all the demigods are worshiping Krishna. And they will know that by worshiping Krishna, that gives the greatest pleasure to the demigods. And they will also know, if they really study in detail, that there are 33 million demigods. So if you want to set it, even right now, I just noticed you blinked. You blinked. You blinked again. A demigod controlled your eyes, you know that? There's a demigod who controls the blinking of your eyes. And even going to the toilet room to pass stool, there's a demigod in charge of evacuation. So everything we do is under the influence of some demigod, you see. And you want those demigods to be pleased so your eyes will blink, so you won't be constipated, etc., you see. Now, if you really want to please all those demigods, how many pujas will you have to do? There's 33 million of them. How many pujas will you have to do? So if you want to please the demigods to get the rain, to get the wind, to get the sun, to get this, that, so many things that we need in life, you'll be doing pujas 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You won't even have time to go to work. You won't have time to sleep even if you want to cover all the demigods. So instead of worshiping the demigods, just worship the god of the demigods, Krishna. When you water the root of the tree, then all the leaves and branches are nourished. So instead of worshiping the gods and goddesses, worship the god of the god of the goddesses, the gods and the goddesses, and they'll all be pleased automatically. This is called intelligence. Can you please tell us how you spend your day in Krishna consciousness? Well, just a typical day, a day in the life.
Yeah, they should come and spend a day with you.
Huh?
They should come and spend a day with you.
Yeah, did that. But I get up at 2:30 at night. Today I got up at 2:30. I took a bath real quick. Quick bath, in and out, so if I get to my japa right away. I chanted japa. I chanted the Brahma Samhita prayers. I went to Mangal Arati and went to Tulsi worship. And then, but today I had to deal with an emergency on the airline ticket emergency after my japa was done. That's not normal. Normally I do writing at that time. But we traveled, so today I had to deal with I had to get on the phone and call the United States of America to straighten out some, to try to get some ticket booking for our preaching that's coming soon. So, and then after that, then we went to the temple. We greeted the deities. We had a Guru Puja of Prabhupada, and we had the Bhagavatam class. And then we came back. I did some writing. I took a little extra rest because I only got 4 hours of rest last night. And took lunch and then did some more writing throughout the afternoon. Then I did puja for Radha Damodar. I did arti. Dressed the deities, put in the rest, took a little snack, and then came over here. So it's a typical day. Usually, in the morning I don't get a call the airline. Usually in the morning I write, but it was an emergency because there was a ticket I had to buy before the space was gone for one of my traveling and preaching adventures. So it's kind of a typical day. All right. And you can, the thing is, if you make Krishna the center of your life, you're going to be in bliss. You get up early, take your bath, chant the holy names before you do anything else, you see. base your day on chanting. Now I'm going to let this is my wife here, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. Now we're going to give her a couple of questions because she can answer a lot of questions better than me, actually. I don't want you to deprive of her wisdom. So I'll read it to you so you can read it. Material education is necessary to get a job and to live with the money we earn. But should we strive for PhD and other big, big qualifications? What do you propose?
But material education is for the body. That is very fine. One can engage that. But if you cannot engage it in Krishna service, then it's useless. Useless labor. So it's better if you're going to engage in Krishna consciousness, then you can go for PhD and preach Krishna consciousness very lightly. Stop it.
She doesn't love photographs. Yeah.
So that is very, if you want to go for PhD, first you think that are you going to using that material education for Krishna's service? Otherwise it's a waste of time. Material body will be maintained in any way. Whether you have PhD or master's or what, you will get it. Material bodies of animals are also maintained. We don't need PhDs. So we suggest if you can become Krishna conscious and use your PhD. It's a great asset for preaching also.
Okay, now the next question. Okay, I'll take this one. You can have the one after that. Okay. What is the difference between doing something with love and doing something with love and devotion? Actually, it's the same thing, but Prabhupada says love and devotion to emphasize that it's not lust. Love means with devotion, but we don't know that. We think love means lust in the modern day world. So to help us understand, this is talking about love, not lust. Prabhupada says love and devotion. But actually, real love means with devotion. Okay, here's one for you, G. The concept of family life should also exist in the spiritual world as we do have family life in the material world. Does it mean that we will have a companion in the spiritual world as well?
You answer that.
There's no, it's not signed, baby. You asked who asked the question?
No, I said you say that. You answer.
Oh, you want me to answer it? Okay. Yes, there are families, there are husbands and wives in the spiritual world. But you might be a rock in the spiritual world. You may, or a bamboo, or a butterfly. Of course, a butterfly may have a wife or a husband. You may or may not have a spouse in the spiritual world. You don't need to have a spouse to be happy, okay? All you need is Krishna. There are husbands and wives in the spiritual world, but they're not very attracted to each other. They serve Krishna together. They're attracted to Krishna. So you could have a companion. You could be a cowherd boy, a young cowherd boy, and not be old enough to be married, and remain as an eternal cowherd boy, and have your closest companion as another cowherd boy friend. You see, it's not that you'll have a male female companion necessarily in the spiritual world. You don't need it. Here we think, oh, I have to have a, and I'm male, therefore I have a female companion, or vice versa. This is a material conception based on the material body, but the spirit soul only needs one thing, and that's the association of Krishna. That's all the spirit soul needs.
We already have our swarup in spiritual world, so we cannot think that I will have this person as my husband or wife.
You already have an identity. It's called swarup. Rupa means form. Sva means your own. You already have a form in the spiritual world. You've forgotten what it is. It's a cowherd boy, a cowherd girl, a cow, a calf, a flower. Everybody has a sarupa in the spiritual world. We have simply forgotten it. You don't try to guess it now. Well, I think I'd like to be a lotus flower. No. You just surrender fully to Krishna and Guru, and then when you become a pure devotee, your sarupa will be revealed to you. how are you able to answer our questions so nicely? You want to answer that one? Yeah. whatever ability I have to answer questions is due to the fact that I'm simply repeating what I have learned from my spiritual master. I don't have any ability to manufacture answers. I have studied for the last 43 years the teachings of the greatest spiritual master in the history of the universe, His Divine Grace. Hold up his picture. Give it to me. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, initiated me in 1971. I've been studying his teachings nonstop ever since every day I study them. So it's all whatever answers I get you are all the mercy of my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. Why does Krishna help you to get those answers so quickly? That's Krishna's kindness. He's very kind, even though I don't consider myself to be very intelligent. I mean, I dropped out of college. I'm not very, not a big academic whiz or anything. Of course, I was a fairly good student, but I wasn't inclined to continue getting a college degree or anything like that, but still, Krishna gives me the intelligence how to answer these questions almost immediately. What is the difference between Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam?
Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Krishna and Bhagavatam is about Krishna and his devotees.
Are your parents and relatives Krishna conscious? Cousins and brothers, do you preach to them? No, they're none of my family. No, I didn't have one family member who was Krishna conscious. Actually, practically my whole family is dead and gone. All my brothers left. I've told him about Krishna consciousness, but he's not very interested in it, although he respects it. Why is the paramour rasa on the top in the spiritual world, but considered abominable in the material world?
Because material world is a perverted.
Huh?
Because material world.
The material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Thing is, some people criticize Krishna as having paramour relationship with Radharani, but actually that is an external understanding, because actually Radharani is the energy of Krishna. She's his Ladini Shakti. She's more than wife, okay? A husband may have a wife, but is she the Sladini Shakti of that man? No. She's separate. Radharani is actually non-different from Krishna himself. She's his own energy, his Sladini Shakti. So she's more than any wife. There's no question of illicit relationship. She's his own energy. She is Krishna's own energy. So there's no question of Krishna being, having illicit relationship. But she plays the role of paramour just to make it more exciting, make the lila more exciting. If you have a secret lover, you see, it's more interesting than having a husband or a wife, which it becomes domesticated love, routine, wash the dishes, take out the garbage, kind of relationship. But to have a paramour, when will I meet my paramour, you see? That's more exciting than domesticated love. So that's why they play the role of paramour, actually. It's to increase the rasa, the excitement of the loving relationship. Okay. Can you please explain the presence of Lord Krishna with a scientific approach? Thank you with love, Hare Krishna. You'd like to do this one? Want me to do? Okay. The presence of Krishna with a scientific approach. So first of all, what does scientific mean? Scientific means not to take things dogmatically. What they call science nowadays is actually dogmatism. If you're a science student, you have to accept blindly in Darwin's theory. You have to blindly accept the Big Bang theory, etc., etc., etc. That's not science. That's dogma. Science means open-mindedly inquire without any preconceived ideas, without any prejudices, what is real and what is not real. That is science, is it? That's real science. What they call science in the schools and the universities is not science. It's pure hogwash, dogma. It's pure dogma. It's not science. So real science means, a real scientific approach means to open up your mind, to lay aside all dogmas that you've been told about. Don't accept anything blindly, you see. But use whatever facilities God has given you to understand and realize things with an open mind. That is scientific approach, you see. So how do we understand the presence of Lord Krishna scientifically? Well, how do you know that water is composed of two parts hydrogen and one part of oxygen? You can actually go to the laboratory and you can do that. You can combine two parts of hydrogen with one part of oxygen, and what do you get in your test tube? Water. I did that when I was a chemistry student, you see. So I have scientifically proven to myself that H2O equals water, because I did the experiment. H2O does equal water, because I took two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, I got water. So that's scientific, because I actually did it. I took the hydrogen, the oxygen, I got the water. So in the same scientific way, you can experience the presence of Krishna. There's a test tube in which you can do that. Do you know what is that test tube? That test tube is your own consciousness. You have a consciousness. As a living being, you have consciousness, okay? Now, there is an experiment you can do with your own consciousness, and by which you can personally experience the presence of Krishna. And just like you can take two parts of hydrogen and one part of oxygen, put them into the test tube and get water, there are two ingredients you can put into the test tube of your consciousness, and you will get Krishna's personal association within your heart. And those two ingredients are this: the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The other ingredient is faith. You must put your faith in the name. If you will chant with faith the holy name of Krishna, you will experience Krishna within your heart. Well, you say, well, I did it, but I didn't experience Krishna. Well, that means your faith wasn't strong enough yet. You didn't have pure faith. You have to put total faith, and then you will experience Krishna. That's a fact. Scientifically, you will personally see Krishna face to face, eye to eye. You'll personally meet Krishna.
So, scientifically, can't we use the example of the machine operators and the gold in the gold mine?
Mm-hmm.
You want to tell them?
All the machines. Yeah, they want to know the presence of Krishna. The question was the presence of Krishna, yeah. Those, you can use those examples to prove the existence of God. But they wanted to know how to experience the presence of God. It's a slightly different thing. But there are some other ways you can understand God's existence. Just like we can scientifically observe that every machine requires an operator. Any gadget. Just like I have a watch here. It's a self-winding watch. See, just by I'm winding my watch right now. Every time I move my hand, I'm winding my watch. If I put that watch on the table, after a while it'll go dead, you see, because there's no nobody winding it anymore. So every machine requires some operator. Just like this microphone, and someone has to turn on the switch. You see? So this gigantic cosmic manifestation is also a machine. So if every machine requires an operator, gigantic cosmic machine must therefore also require an operator. That's a scientific deduction. Therefore, we can understand God exists. He must be there. There must be a supreme operator behind the cosmos. What is the difference between Krishna and Vishnu? There is no difference. That Krishna and Vishnu are the same. But when God is at home, or let's say when God is the office, he's called Vishnu. When God is at home, he's called Krishna. It's the same person in a different rasa, the different relationship. His employees know him in one way, and his family members know him in a different way. God at the office is Vishnu, and God at home is Krishna. He's the same person, but in a different role, a different capacity. There still exists the confusion of guru worship prior to Krishna worship. Can you please throw some light on this, Guru Dev? You want to try that one, David? Or you want me to take it? Yeah, okay. Actually, it is a Vedic injunction that one should worship the spiritual master as good as God. You say, well, what is Vedic injunction anyway? It's like, in, according to Vedic teachings, if you touch the stool of an animal, you must immediately take bath because you're contaminated. But the same Vedas, it says, the stool of the cow is purifying. You may say, well, this is contradictory because the stool of the cow is also stool. Why don't become contaminated? But the Vedic injunction is, the stool of the cow is different. Then it's actually been scientifically proven as well by one scientist he analyzed in the laboratory. It's been proven scientifically as well. But the point is, Vedic injunction is authoritative. So according to Vedic injunction, one is meant to worship the spiritual master as good as God. That is Vedic injunction.
Okay, can I edit?
Huh?
Can I add?
Yes, yes.
This is the instructions of Krishna. This is, if you're really worshipping Krishna, means to work and follow his instruction.
Actually, Krishna, that one verse, you know that verse?
Yeah.
Yeme Bhakta.
There are so many. Acharya mam vijaniyam. No manyata karachit. Don't envy him. Worship him as understanding as he is me. So there are so many instructions given in the scriptures that a spiritual master should be worshipped. It's not God, but his representative. And Prabhupada gives the example when Viceroy, the representative of Queen, used to come to India, he will be given all respect and worship. They would give it to the Queen. So the representative of the of Krishna is also equally worshipped. It's not that he is, because if we are worshipping Krishna in one way because it's following his instruction. Otherwise, if we are not following his instruction, where is the question of worshipping him?
Krishna also states in the Adi Purana, Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhaktas tate janaha, mad bhaktanam te ye bhaktas te me bhakta tamamata. He says, my dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, he is not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So, you want to be a devotee of Krishna? Then you must become the devotee of Krishna. Otherwise, Krishna says, you are not my devotee. This is Krishna's order. So you want to be a devotee of Krishna, then you obey Krishna. And you become the devotee of Krishna. And then Krishna will accept. Otherwise, he will never accept you. You're upstart. You're a rascal. Can you please talk about marriage? Yes, marriage is a very important thing. Because without marriage, by the way, marriage means between a man and a woman. It doesn't mean between two men or between two women. Now everyone wants to have gay marriage, but actually marriage is a license for sex. And what is sex for? For procreation. So marriage is a license for procreation. For the purpose of marriage is a license for producing kids. That's what it is. You're married, now you have a license to produce kids. Husband and wife, you're licensed to produce kids if you want to. You don't have to, but you have a license. If you want to produce some kids, you can do so. It's considered legitimate. It's religious, etc. You see. Now, if two gay men, if one gay man can make another gay man pregnant, then we don't object to gay marriage. Or if one lesbian woman can make another lesbian woman pregnant, we have no objection to lesbian marriage either, you see. But the fact is, biologically, one man cannot make another man pregnant because a man doesn't have a womb. Nor can a woman make another woman pregnant because she doesn't have semen in her body to impregnate the other woman. Therefore, marriage between two men and two women doesn't make any sense. All it does is it encourages illicit sex. Sex outside of procreation, which is against the religious principles. So we find now that the religious people have no way of arguing against gay sex. They're all having to agree, all right, we agree that it's okay for a Christian to have a gay marriage. Of course, the Muslims haven't done it yet, but they'll probably do it too eventually. Everyone will say, yes, it's okay to have gay marriages. But because they don't understand the science. What is the purpose of marriage? What is the? They don't understand. No one understands. Except, I've not seen anyone except in this Krishna, except for Prabhupada, who actually understands. What is the purpose of marriage? People have lost the understanding. What is the purpose of marriage? Therefore, the whole thing is becoming polluted in the modern day world. But we can, if they will take guidance from us, we can solve this whole controversy about gay marriage very quickly. They will listen to us. If these leaders will listen, but they're not listening to us, it's a problem. What is bhakti? Bhakti means pure love for God. How to make bhakti, especially in teenagers? Why you didn't do it when they were kids? Why you didn't train them when they were children? How did they have bhakti? You neglected them as children. Now they're teenagers. They're going wild. It's too late. If you want you want your child to be a lover of God, you must train them. You must be yourself an ideal example of a pure devotee of God from the very, even before the child is conceived. You must be an example of a pure devotee of God. And then when that child comes out, he has to see that example of pure devotee of God in his parents, you see. Then he will naturally be pure devotee. You neglected to do that, and now you're saying, how can I force my teenagers to be devotees? It's too late. Teenager means now they can do their own thing. That's teenage life. You try your best, you may be able to do something, but you may not be able to. Yeah, actually, the Amish people, it's a Christian religious community in the U.S. They're very traditional people from the old... They're old traditional Christians from Europe who never modernized. They have their own communities. They don't use electricity. They don't use automobiles. They use horse and buggy, and they're very traditional people, and they have a very tight knit community. They dress in different types of clothes, old fashioned clothes from centuries ago. There's a big community in the U.S. called the Amish people, mostly in Pennsylvania, and. When a child is born to that community, they do not count that child as a member of their community. But when that child becomes a teenager, they say, okay, now you go live outside of our community in the regular secular society and see whether you like the Amish life better or that life better. And if you like ours better, you can come back. If not, you just stay out there. And when they come back, then they count, oh, now you're a member of our community, you see. It's not some, that's how they deal with their youth. They let them go out and try being a non-Amish person and see how they like it better. And most of them come back, you see. Most of them come back. They're given full freedom to not be Amish and to be either non-Amish or Amish. And most of them come back and become very dedicated. So a teenager has to be given freedom, really, to make their own decision. But you have to be such a... You can't force a teenager. You have to let them make their own decision. But you yourself must be such a good example of a pure devotee. They'll be inspired by you. That's the key. Some people preach Krishna consciousness, but they themselves do not practice. What's your views? Should we listen to them? Hand this one to you, G. Someone who preaches but doesn't practice, should we listen to them?
We can listen to anybody. If it's beneficial for us, we take it. Why not? If he's saying something good, if we can take a lesson from Vinodab cannot practice Krishna consciousness. How dedicated he is to his master. So that's my realization.
That's nice. Okay. Bhagavad Gita was written by whom? It was spoken by Krishna and dictated by Vyasadeva to Ganesh, who put it into written form. And it's been passed down ever since Ganesh put it on a manuscript. It's been copied from that original copy. I don't know where the original copy is, if it's still around. But the copies of the copy of the copy, we have the original actual word that was spoken by Krishna 5,000 years ago. A courtesy of Ganesh and Vyasadeva. I is being ambitious a negative feeling? No. Not necessarily. It depends what you're ambitious for. If you're ambitious for Krishna consciousness, that's very good. If you're ambitious to be materially successful and you want to offer in Krishna's service, that's also good. I believe my dreams can affect others. Would chanting the Hare Krishna mantra help me to decide for the best? Oh, yes. The more you chant, Krishna will give you intelligence. Tesham satati yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam tadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upiyantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. Is it important to be a vegetarian to chant the Maha Mantra?
No. It's not necessary, but it helps you to chant and become more purified. You can chant. If you want a better result, you become vegetarian, purify oneself. But you can chant, even if you are not vegetarian.
Everyone's welcome to chant.
Anybody can chant.
Meat eaters are also welcome. If you chant Hare Krishna, you'll become a vegetarian. Actually, we are not vegetarians here. We are Krishnatarians. The monkeys are vegetarians, and they do all nonsense. We are the eaters of Krishna Prasad. We only take Krishna Prasad. That is our vrat, you see. Therefore, because Krishna is a vegetarian, therefore we are vegetarians because we only take the Prasad of Krishna.
In the name of vegetarian, people do so many nonsense, also like monkeys. So
yeah, that's true. Can you please explain what Sri Krishna told Yudhishthira Maharaj about Apara Akadasi? No, I'm not familiar with it. These different akadasis are not that important. Papa didn't emphasize you have to do this and that akadasi and this. Papa never told us to observe this. There was some book that came out telling about, well, this akadasi you have to do this and that akadasi you have to do that. every Ekadasi you get it. This Ekadasi you have to give an umbrella to a brahmana, you know, so many little detailed things. Prabhupada never told us to do those things. That book was written, was compiled by a sannyasi who blooped, who left our movement after he compiled the book. So it's not a very important book. If you're reading that Ekadasi book, it's not very important. It's not given by Prabhupada. It's not recommended by Prabhupada. I don't recommend you waste your time with it. It's not important.
This is why a spiritual master is very important, to tell you what is good enough for you to progress in Krishna consciousness.
When Prabhupada was here, we didn't even have that book in ISKCON. Nor did Prabhupada ever say that book should be translated. But that sannyasi wanted to make a name for himself. And so he got that book and published it and made a name for himself, and then he left the movement. Where is Krishna Rao Balaram Swami now? No one knows. He put together the book. Kali is doing us bad things. Is this not sin? And will we not pay for this karma? Kali is doing us bad things. Kali is certainly engaged in so many sinful activities, and he's encouraging sinful activity. He will pay for it, no doubt. Kali will pay.
I want to say that.
Yeah.
Kali is giving sinful, you are taking it. And Kali is also giving the best opportunity for Krishna consciousness. Why not you take that too? And he said in the Bhagavatam that there are so many bad things in Kali Yuga, but it's the most easiest time that one can become Krishna conscious. So it is your choice. Kali is not doing anything bad for you. It's your choice what you are taking. Kali's bad side, or you are taking the Kali's good side, which in very short time you can become Krishna conscious. So what you want to take, that's your choice.
Okay, let's see here. What is the simple way to attain mukti? That's given by Rupa Goswami. He says, how does that slog go? He says, Adau Garashvayam. The first step for achieving mukti is you take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. Adau Garashvayam. Simply take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, follow his instructions, and your mukti is already there. The Hare Ram in the Maha Mantra refers to whom? Lord Ram or Balaram? Both. You can take it either way. Or you can take it as Lord Ramachandra, or you can take it as Krishna himself, who is also the original Ram, the original Supreme Enjoyer. People argue that Sri Krishna and Jesus are the same. To what extent can we accept this claim? They say that Jesus and Krishna are the same. To what extent can we accept this claim? Okay. Christ never said that he is God the Father. Christ said that I am the Son of God. It is mentioned in the Bible that Christ sits on the right hand side of God the Father. So according to biblical teachings, and I grew up as a Christian, okay? I never thought that Jesus was God. I always knew he was the Son of God. So this is this idea that Jesus is himself God is some new idea which has come into Christianity under the influence of Mayavadi philosophy, actually. Jesus is the Son of God. He is not God. Now, of course, he is of the same quality of God, because God is pure and Jesus is also pure. So qualitatively, the Father and the Son are one, but quantitatively they are different.
May I ask this question in regard to this question? When Jesus was crucified, before getting crucified, he prayed to the Lord. So if he's the father, why does he need to pray?
That's right. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus made a distinction between himself and God. So we have to take that as authoritative. Nowhere did Jesus indicate that he was God the Father. No. Nowhere.
And he also said that let this cup pass, but if so, if you, whatever you desire.
Yeah. So this idea that Jesus is God is not, it's a new idea in Christianity. It's not the original there. It's come since the 60s when Mayavadi philosophy became more prominent in the West. This idea became more prominent in Christianity. I never, as a Christian kid growing up, we were never taught that Jesus was God. Never. He's the Son of God. I never taught that he's God. In the seminar you gave yesterday at the university, you said that abortion is murder. Is it still considered murder if someone, for example, an adolescent was raped? Well, no matter what condition it is, there's a living being who's there and you're killing it. You say, well, I'm not really killing a living being. No, even if an adolescent girl is raped and you abort the child, you're still killing the child. The best thing is let the child be born naturally and then put it up for adoption. Why are you killing? The child is innocent. The child didn't rape that adolescent. Well, the child should be punished. Actually, the rapist should be put to death. That's the real thing. These rapists should be put to death for rape. Rapists should be put to death. The death penalty should be given for rape. And the child is innocent. Why are you taking... You should kill the rapist. Put the rapist to death. Capital punishment for the rapist. The child is innocent. Why do you want to punish that child? It's not his fault. He didn't rape the mother. You should put the rapist to death. Hang him or put him, electrocute him. Put him before a firing squad. You see. Should you execute that rapist and let the child go free. The child's not guilty of anything. And the child can be put up for adoption. You said you were tiny before Prabhupada. How often should devotees worship Srila Prabhupada? How often should worship his initiating guru? The devotees should worship Prabhupada at every minute by dedicating their life and soul to Srila Prabhupada. They worship Prabhupada at every minute, and they should also worship their initiating guru at every minute, because their initiating guru is connecting them with Srila Prabhupada. So both Srila Prabhupada and the initiating guru should be worshipped constantly within the heart of the disciple by accepting their instructions as one's very life and soul. Okay, is the chanting of the Maha Mantra equal to yajna, fire sacrifice? No. It's a million times more powerful than fire yajna. Therefore, it's not necessary to do fire yajna for this, fire yajna for that, fire yajna for my new car, fire yajna for my new guitar, or whatever we may do a fire yajna for. Just chant Hare Krishna. That's a million times more powerful than any fire yajna. Although Prabhupada did tell us to do fire yajnas for weddings and initiations, and we do that in his order. I never heard him say we should do fire yajnas for other things. There may be some example, like a deity installation ceremony, I'm not sure. I don't remember fire yajnas for that. They would do Abhishek. Just like when they installed Radha London Ishwar, there was no fire yajna. I never read about a fire yajna. They did Abhishek, bathing ceremony. There was not fire yajna. When Krishna Balaram were installed, that was done by Prabhupada under his direction. I don't remember reading about a fire yajna for a deity installation.
They did it.
Huh?
They did it in Krishna Balaram time, because
they had an elaborate puja, but I don't know if they had a fire yajna. That's my point. I know they had elaborate puja.
Yes, because
I don't know that they read. We can recheck the documents. I don't remember reading they did a fire yajna.
Because the brahmanas were.
I know that they had some elaborate rituals, but I don't know they did the fire yajna. That's my point. I don't remember the bit of, we can check with the anyway, historians.
Behind that, Prabhupada says, together with that, there was main yagya for Kali Yuga is Sankirtana yagya.
Yeah, but I don't think we should just automatically assume that they had a fire yagya. I don't remember reading they had a fire yagya. They may have had one, but we know they did elaborate rituals. That we know. That Prabhupada authorized so that the Brijavasis would think it was an authorized temple, because otherwise they wouldn't accept the ungrazy mandir as bona fide. Is it? But whether they did a fire yagya or not, that I don't remember reading. We can check with Hari Sari Prabhu. He was probably there. Maybe he was there. We can ask him. He may know if there was a fire yagya at that time. But the fire yagya is not necessary for this thing, that thing, so many things. Not necessary. Simply this Harinam Sankirtan, it is a million times more powerful than fire yagya. How to attain moksha? Is it by chanting Maha Mantra? Yes. By chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, you will become liberated from the cycle of birth and death. But you have to learn how to chant without offense from the bona fide spiritual master.
So one has
to
practice.
Huh?
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that whatever you think at the time of death, you will get that. If you want the moksha, then you can live to remember Krishna at the time of death.
You said that the rapist should be put to death. As a human, how should one decide to punish the rapist to death? That's according to your state laws. Different governments have different systems. Some use firing squads, some use the hanging by the noose, some by lethal injection. That's according to your government. Your government can decide that. There are different ways you can put people to death. Does the human being have the right to eliminate one's life? According to the government has a right. The individual citizens do not have that right. But according to Vedic principles, the government does have a duty, actually, to put murderers to death because it frees them from the karma of the murder they committed. So there is it is a legitimate principle given in the scriptures. The government has the not only the right but the duty to put murderers to death, to free them from the karma of the murder they committed. But individually, no, we don't have the right. That has to be done by the government. A God-conscious government has the right to do that. And so we have to make our governments have to do such. They have to punish criminals, otherwise there will be complete chaos in the society. But not individuals should do. The government has to do those things. Okay, looks like there's no more questions. Everybody's satisfied now? Ready to take seriously this process of bhakti? Everyone's ready? Everyone in the back is ready to take bhakti very seriously, huh? What do you say back there? Are you ready in the back? Take bhakti very seriously. Get out of the cycle of birth and death. It's your choice, you see. You can take bhakti seriously and get out of the cycle of birth and death. You can say, well, you know, it's nice they're doing bhakti. Well, you won't get liberated from birth and death. You remain in the cycle of birth and death, you see. Bhakti is not a spectator sport. It's a participation sport. Not that you can sit back. Well, I like bhakti so much I can sit and watch the devotees do it for hours. No, you want the benefit of bhakti, you do bhakti. You check the japamala, you chant. How many are chanting japamala? Raise your hand. Only maybe half of you are chanting japamala, you see. You go to the temple, get the japamala, you see. Chant Hare Krishna regularly. Purify your heart. Purify your consciousness. Don't spoil this human life. Living like cats and dogs, simply eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Take this human life very seriously and get out of the cycle of birth and death. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.
His Great Shankar Shandasa Adhikari Maharaj ki
jai.